We're talking to Dr. Ross Walker this afternoon in our Tuesday afternoon chat. Ross, this morning's big headline everywhere was that the pharmaceutical giant Pfizer says its experimental vaccine is more than 90% effective in preventing COVID-19 based on initial data from a large study.
Yep.
But I did make the comment that, look, a lot of people this morning with this news, all they've really been doing is talking about a press release that's come out from Pfizer. There are problems with this vaccine, and one that I see is the way that it has to be stored. It has to be stored at minus 34 degrees C. That's what one of the articles said today. And many health centres don't have storage this cold.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is the teething problem with it. But let's face it, with what's happened, the way the world has been completely crippled by the coronavirus, we need to take drastic action. We need to get storage facilities that will store the vaccine, because it's been shown to be much more effective than, say, the influenza vaccine, 90% effective. And we're talking about not a small study. It's not like the Russian vaccine where they tested on 40 patients. We're talking just under 43,500 people across a broad age group were tested with this vaccine. They started the tests in July, and they've run it up to November the 8th on all of these people. And they found that, as I said, 90% effective, which is just ridiculous for any medical treatment, I've got to say. Yes, it is. You need the cold storage. And yes, it is two shots. It's not just one shot. You need one shot initially, then about 3 weeks later they give another shot. And then they tested the vaccine response after that. And of the 43,500 people, there have only been 94 cases of coronavirus, which is quite extraordinary. Now, the problem with that is, have those 43,500 people been in a position where they've been exposed to people with COVID-19, which would give them the risk for it, or have they been isolated? Not, and that's why we've got such a low case rate. We don't know. And as you say, we don't have all the details of this. And this study will be going on for another couple of years to make sure the vaccine maintains its effectiveness. But they are saying that they'll have 50 million doses by the end of this year and 1.3 billion doses by next year.
I received an email when I came on air today. We were talking about this, and Alison said, yet another benefit of Australia's brilliant suppression of the virus is that we will not have to rush into widespread vaccination. We can wait and see which ones offer the best protection for minimal side effects.
Yeah.
Do you agree or disagree with that?
No, I think that's a very careful and intelligent comment. But the point I would make here is, when we want to get our life back to normal, and many of us, I mean, for example, just at a personal level, we were going overseas twice this year for weddings, which have been cancelled, of course, because of the epidemic or the pandemic. And when people want to get back to normal, when people want to freely travel across borders, we all have to have the vaccination, and that's the problem. And I personally believe that if you refuse to have the vaccination, that is your business. No one can force you to have medical treatment against your will, but you have to then give up some liberties. You should not be allowed to get on a plane. You should not be allowed to go to a restaurant. And people are going to disagree with me. The anti-vaxxers are going nuts over these comments. But I'm saying, if something's been proven to be safe, 90% effective, why on earth would you not have it for something that's created, that's really crippled the world for 7 to 8 months?
This leads us into one of the topics that you sent to talk about today, and that is, the virus appears to be mutating to be more contagious. Now, if this is the case, does this mean that they're going to continually have to change, like they do with the flu vaccinations, they're going to have to continually change and continually work on these COVID-19 vaccinations?
Well, they'll always have to evaluate them, but just because it's mutating to be more contagious doesn't mean that the particular vaccine they've used won't work, because for example, the Pfizer vaccine is different to the Oxford vaccine. The Pfizer vaccine is using this technique called it's an RNA virus. So they basically take genetic bits of the coronavirus, which are probably stable genetic bits, not the bits that mutate. So when you get a mutation, you only have a change in a couple of amino acids. So the RNA virus would probably have a good global coverage for whether it mutates or not. And the interesting thing is, yes, it appears to be more contagious, but it doesn't appear to be more deadly. So yes, it's easy to get, but it just doesn't, potentially not making you as sick. That's what they're suggesting from the study on this thing. So no, I think the vaccination will still probably be effective. And I think if you've had COVID-19, there's a lot of good evidence to show that people that have had COVID-19, the vast majority still have a very strong antibody and cell-mediated immune response even 5 months after their exposure.
Which is good news.
Yeah.
I see also that the true COVID death rate amongst those exposed appears to be around 1%, but clearly higher in the sick and older population.
Oh, yeah, of course. If you're less than 40, the death rate is 0.1%. If you're above 80, it's more than 5%. But this is, again, for the high-income countries, the infection fatality rate's about 1.15%. But for low-income countries, where they tend to have a younger population, it's a 0.23% mortality rate. But mind you, average influenza is about a 0.1%. Severe influenza is about 0.3%.
With this Pfizer vaccination, you've said two shots. Does this mean you'll have, what, over a period of a couple of weeks or a couple of months? Or
No, every three. I think they did it at week start and then 3 weeks later.
Okay. And you don't have to have something until possibly next year, like a flu vaccination?
Oh, no, yeah. No, I've got to say, as soon as a vaccine becomes available, whether it's the Pfizer one or the Oxford one, which is altering a virus, a weak adenovirus linked to the COVID spike protein, as soon as one of those becomes available freely, I'll put my hand up for it straight away. But then you have your flu vaccine next year.
Right. Okay. We're out of time, as always. Although, I tell you what, sadly we didn't get to your myth. Well, can we do your myth for this week, next week?
Sure, absolutely.
Because it's... stress is basically an emotional reaction to a traumatic event or conflict. I want to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that next week.
Dr. Ross, I'm glad to have you back.
Lovely to talk to you, mate.
We missed you last week, but we did a best of.
Oh, thank you.
We did?
Yeah.
All right. So
you
were
I'll
still
talk
on,
to you next week,
you
mate.
Were still on the radio with us. Look after yourself, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Ross Walker, our weekly chat. And if you've got a question you'd like us to put to Dr. Ross Walker, send us an email. It's as simple as that. Go to the 2SM website, follow all the prompts and get through to me, or send it to me at brent@2hd.com.au. I send it to Dr. Ross, and I believe he replies personally, and we talk about it on the radio. You